This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Hello. You're here yesterday, today, and leave tomorrow.
Wow. Welcome to sunny Vancouver. Literally, I was just realizing that I don't think we've seen blue sky literally in maybe 6 days. No, but like 6 days for real. But there was like a glimpse, like in 6 days, I think literally no blue sky, which is...
This is your take-home gift. Don't fight over it. No, I'm
just kidding. No. I'd fight over
Oscar,
that.
Oscar's trying to steal it, so make sure it's still here. I have to go round up the next batch, but at the back, I wanted you to know that Suzanne Fritz from Warner Brothers,
you'll see
a lot of her during Junket, and Risa Chapwick, you'll see a lot of her.
Hey, you guys.
And Oscar, and over there is Annie with Warner Brothers. So I'm not leaving you unattended, but I am going to get the next batch.
Good, because they're scary.
While we already sort of know what the characters you play, could you talk about who you play in the film?
Yeah.
yes, so I play Dr. Gorski and Madame Gorski, as her alternate personality is. Well, you know there's a sort of dual worlds going on, right? So in the real world, it's 1960s, Lenox House Psychiatric Institute, and I'm a psychiatrist who is sort of very Freudian in her ways. Not a big fan of the lobotomy. She's Polish. So I was doing some research into the character, I found out that in Russia, lobotomies were made illegal in 1950. So I think from her perspective, that's sort of like she's come over to try to do this more progressive kind of therapy with music and regression and dealing with kind of probably for better or worse. Freud, what he kind of discovered, and later has been updated. She's not there yet, but and I work with Oscar's character, who is sort of the what do you consider your incarnation in that world? He's kind of become something different since you.
Yeah, for me, I do see it as it's the character that I'm playing is Blue Jones, who was an orderly at this asylum, and I think he's someone who's generally been pretty powerless in his life, and so he uses this position at this kind of unorganized, slightly chaotic old asylum to have a position of power. And so I think he kind of hoards information, and he collects things, and he kind of has a slightly OCD thing about him, and he becomes like the don of the institution to a certain extent. And I think that, we've talked about perhaps even he may have helped Dr. Gorski get a position there, like a visa thing or who knows.
Yeah, she's an immigrant. I mean, there are so many levels of this story that we're discovering, but also that then when audiences see it, I'm sure there'll be many different interpretations. But it definitely seems as if they've worked together for a period of time, and there's some sort of a, they come from very different places, but there's been some sort of power,
And then in the fantasy world, I know literally, I guess, it's baby doll's imagination creating this world. But for me, I kind of imagined it as what the orderly imagines or wishes he was, which is this respected, charismatic,
boss. He's boss. A boss for sure.
that is also liked, and who's a showman, and who's all these things as well. And I think that throughout the movie, for me, then the fun part has been showing the cracks of that when it kind of goes back to this more powerless, insecure, kind of infected guy.
Yeah, and Madame Gorski definitely also is. Again, it seems as if in what is in Baby Doll's fantasy is just like a heightened version of what she observes initially. Interestingly enough, in both worlds, I use music as a psychiatrist and also as a dominatrix choreographer / Madame. Never thought I'd say that. That's what I'm playing. But in the brothel. So yeah, I've never done anything like this. Fascinating. It's been really, it's sort of endlessly, which I know we talked about some with Watchmen as well. But it's like endlessly, you can keep digging deeper and deeper and finding more and more stuff.
Is it more of a sexy character? I was talking to Oscar.
I'm like, he's pretty sexy. I mean,
I do have a white scarf. So
you do. He has a white scarf that just sort of takes it over the edge. Is the alternate character more sexy?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Although both of them are pretty sexy.
Yeah, she's. Well, I mean, we do have. I mean, Zach sort of wrote Dr. Gorski even in these very tight tweed suits, so it's sort of that sexy secretary kind of, you know, situation. But yes, Madame Gorski is definitely much more. That whole world is much more, you know, unleashed, obviously, and because it is a brothel too, it's by nature, you know.
Although it is strange to kind of refer to, like, the reality of it and then to the fantasy, because even the reality is pretty heightened.
You know, sure.
I think already from the get-go, there's a fantastical quality to it.
There's very little that's naturalistic. Aside from, I mean, I think the emotions are being played absolutely for real, but the circumstances are incredibly heightened.
Can you talk about wrapping your head around it? There's three levels of reality in this film, and as you say, even the reality level is not very real.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of playing characters at different levels, it has to be kind of the same person, but different. Right?
Yeah. No, it's been an interesting, you know, I know you were just kind of explaining even that about, you know, how you kind of are dealing with the separation of the two of them. And for me, definitely, because I have a strong Polish accent, and that's already determines a lot in terms of her gestures and the rhythms, and I was for me a challenge to try to really differentiate the two of them. And I think by nature, it's again, if you're looking at it, you know how when you have a dream and you're like, oh, you were in my dream, but it wasn't really you, and you were wearing this other thing, and it was 10 years ago, but it happened tomorrow. You know, it's also, so there's that leeway in terms of finding something that has to have a real, I didn't ever want anything as Madame Gorski to be something that wasn't laid in as the doctor, because it has to be from her mind, from what she saw when she first, you know. And yet, obviously playing it, you have to play it as a real person. So I think for sure Dr. Gorski is much more, she lives in a much smaller space. She covers her tracks. She's kind of, you know, that kind of animal. And Madame Gorski is much more, takes her space and is much grander in her expression, I guess. Yep.
We saw your dress downstairs for the musical number coming up, which is really cool. So can you talk a little bit about the training that you had to go through and a little bit about the number?
Sure. Is that fine to talk about? I'm sort of...
I would say in more general terms, not so specifically. And actually, we saw your dress, I think, even before you did. The one that we just saw was one that you haven't even seen yet.
Oh, no, I think I must have seen it, because I think I've now just seen all of them, because he's just unbelievable. They keep coming. We had a rehearsal in costume the other day for our dance. Well...
We've been rehearsing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've been definitely, I mean, almost daily just trying to go over these steps. It is an elaborate... moment,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And it's also been really revealing that, actually, the dance has been really revealing
for character, for us, for sort of the
other, you know, a lot of...
What happens at the front of the house for the customers, and, you know, because for me, I even in the film, I do say, I'm in the business of pleasure, and so it is about this inclusive kind of fun energy, and yet behind the scenes, it gets so dark and intense and... especially, I think, with our relationship, that we've been, you know, finding this thing where it has this kind of abusive, married, but who knows where it's at now.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, it's very difficult to explain, but I think a lot of those things come out in the dance itself.
Yeah, one of the key things that we were trying to find in the dance, which I think, and then the whole number, is this kind of cat-mouse, but that sort of goes back and forth, push-pull dynamic between the two of them, this power struggle, but also this kind of electric thing that makes the relationship make sense that we see, you know.
And also, and I think it was really important for us to continue to make it very dangerous to the dance itself. It's not suddenly this, like,
exactly,
you know, this light, airy moment, but it actually ends up being just as intense and revealing.
Mm-hmm.
as
And, you know, a lot of the musical choices that are being made are really inventive and interesting and timeless and, or not, I should say, not of that period. So again, there's this kind of life is a stage, you know. reality is stranger than fiction. All of those things sort of come to mind.
Carl, with your accent in the film, are you, because the film is such a heightened reality, are you sort of taking pains to have a very realistic accent, or are you kind of playing the accent a little bit broader? How are you going with
that? It's pretty realistic, actually. You know, also because we were debating early on about, there was a point at which Zach was sort of playing with German, and then and then no accent, and then there was a whole process to it from the very beginning when I first read the script, and I think what about the Eastern European philosophy? I think this woman has lived through much worse than these girls ever will. So she basically is like, I will teach you how to survive in this environment in a sort of tough love kind of way. So it was really about finding a perspective, because an American woman just didn't seem like, right. You know, and then there's a lot of, she's very theatrical as the choreographer in terms of her use of language, and it just seemed like it was someone who English was a second language for. And so yeah, so the answer to that though is that it's not. I think it wouldn't. The last thing I would want would be for it to be comical in any way, or you know, I think all the characters are really played very real. Wouldn't you say?
I think so. Although it's funny because you know, Zach. I think when he first hired me, it was like, it's great because you've got this, like, you're so, you know, theatrical. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I'm like, oh, really? Because I was trying to play it naturalistic that time. But cool, I guess I just naturally invented that disposition. So, I mean, I don't know. For me, I am trying to approach it like anything else. But I think just naturally, because it's was written and it's infused with that.
Yeah.
I think when we start really engaging with it, there is this...
grand.
Yeah, it's just it's a slightly heightened, mm-hmm. heightened reality.
Well, also because because it's also in such a short time frame, the movie, and it is that kind of like you're hitting everybody in this sort of critical mass. Like it's really, the energy is very. There's very few scenes that are transition scenes.
You know? It's all very high energy, and it is. I mean, I think that even when it gets dark, it's still in this kind of like mm-hmm. forward momentum. You know.
Yeah.
Can you talk about? You, this is the second time, I guess, you've worked with Zach.
Yeah.
Can you talk about what's different, what's the same, and sort of what you brought from Watchmen?
What
and
is
the relationship? I mean, what's that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he's so extraordinary to work with, and endlessly imaginative, and really fun on set. And I think a key thing about him that I noticed on both movies, and I think it's a much huger thing than anyone knows, is that he assembles a group of people, both on an acting front and as crew, that are just exceptional at what they do and really good people. And everyone is sort of, there's a level, I'm such a perfectionist and sort of my own worst enemy, but it's so great when you look around, you go, oh, the prop guy is equally, he's like, I got this, I found this, and it's from Poland, and it was made, you know, it's like everything, everyone cares so much. And it really, my office, and I know you were feeling similarly about yours, when I walked into my office, and there's two different versions of my office, I don't think I've ever, in all the time I've been acting, walked onto a set and it had more, usually you walk in and you go, this isn't what I pictured at all, or I kind of wanted this and maybe they can try to get it really quickly, and this one I walked on and I was like, everything, I mean, he thought of everything, and it really then informs our scenes,
too. Not only things that I didn't even think of, like, I actually got a little embarrassed when I walked into the set, because he's like, you know, and here's the area where you collect all your things, and you know, you probably took this off of people that came in, and suddenly I was like, oh my god, that's amazing. I was like, yes, of course. And I kind of rethought some things, and that was because he came from it at such a character standpoint. And I think that you're right, everybody does.
Yeah. No, it's really, so that's something huge about him. And also that he has a really strong vision, but is incredibly collaborative. And, you know, which is always the sign of a confident director, is that they, you know, usually it's the directors that don't want you to change anything.
Insecure,
that exactly are actually insecure. And he's like got a really strong sense, but also we come in with ideas every day and he welcomes them so amazingly. And in terms of the difference between Watchmen and this, you know, Watchmen, we had such a arsenal of research and background, and you know, so we were all constantly referring to the graphic novel, and you know, to various sort of things that were related to the graphic novel. So this one, we're flying by the seat of our pants a little bit more, or I feel that I am, though he has created this world. So what's kind of great is like it's his vision 100%. So that's really exciting.
As actors, I mean, I would assume that you have some freedom to sort of explore and dig into your real world characters. But when you sort of cross over into this other world, do you have to be careful to sort of do your preparation through the prism of how Baby Doll would see or imagine you? Does it force you to understand her character more as well as your own?
I didn't approach it that way. I did it as because even in a fantasy, that's a very—it's very specific. A lot of times, you know, when you fantasize someone, that should be a fully formed human being. So I didn't kind of limit myself to, well, what would baby doll see, or what did she not see? You know, I just try to make it as specific as possible. You know, who is this guy? He's running a business. He's a small businessman. You know, small business person. What does he have to do to gain? You know. Remain in control over these girls, and what tactics can he use? Mm-hmm. And I just kind of went from that standpoint.
Yeah, no, I actually had for myself initially a similar question that you're asking for myself, which is, in which way do I enter into that world? And I also realized for me it had to be. I have to think of myself as real. Do you know what I mean? Because again, otherwise you're. So it was for me, and. And again, you know, that's what's always so cool about working with other actors is that I sort of did end up having her. She really is two different. She's two different people, really, and it's sort of like the flip of a coin. But but we have a lot more in the brothel than in the real world, in a way, at least what we've been devoting ourselves
completely
to. Like. So actually, it's more interesting that there's been more time to explore that world than there has been to explore the other. Like, we're about to shoot in the next couple of weeks a couple of really important scenes of the real world, and it's going to be interesting to go back to those with the information that we have from the alternate thing. But I have learned more about her character through doing it anyway, because you end up sort of going, oh, right, this is why, you know, it does end up being insightful into her psyche, though, and a lot of those things, even some things that the wise man says, and then that we're acting out, and they do start to really tie in.
Well, this is a period piece, but obviously Zach is not being, you know, fettered to the period. He's kind of limited to go different places. Carl, you kind of answered this a little bit already, but Oscar, how much are you sort of sticking to the period as informing your character, or are you taking a more modern approach?
I think that I've taken a more modern approach to it because, I think just because there are so many elements there are so many of these fantastical things and difficult things to wrap your mind around that I think for me, I just wanted to make him as accessible as possible, you know, because I think there's already going to be that issue of like, okay, well, who is this guy, and is he the same person, or is he a different person? Because to a certain extent, although I didn't necessarily think about, you know, well, what is it through Baby Doll's mind, but I did think, well, if this was a fantasy of who this person could be, a lot of times we fantasize either the opposite of who we actually are, but it's still you, you know? so I think that I did, I feel like I went ahead and had a more modern approach, because I don't feel that, although the costumes, you know, are of a certain mm-hmm. period, I, like the music, like so many other elements to it, I think that it's almost more interesting not to nail myself down to that.
Yeah, it's kind of out of time,
yeah.
Which is cool. The costumes, back to that, because I realized I didn't answer that about you guys saw the dress and all the other extraordinary, I mean, Michael Wilkinson is just a genius, and it's been so amazing, again, on one of those perfectionist collaborative notes. I mean, he's just constantly making us all feel like our characters, which is really, I mean, this corset really made me understand my character more than almost anything. I was like, right, she likes to be in that. You can't breathe. You can eat very little. You have to stand very erect. Makes sense for the dance teacher. Like, it's all, so it's cool how each thing feeds the other.
Can you talk about your shooting schedule up here? You're obviously not in all the scenes. When did you start filming? Are you filming all your stuff together, or are you here for the whole time?
Well, we've had a few weeks off, but we've kind of been mostly in the whole time.
Yeah, also because we've had a lot of these dance rehearsal. Our sort of dance is pretty big, and as well as recording the songs and stuff like that. So.
Right, because we've had 2 weeks off, but it doesn't feel like we've
exactly.
had 2 weeks, we've been working.
We've physically not been shooting, but like between, you know, this is one of those, we were saying, though, it's kind of like a great repertory company or something.
Yeah,
I don't
like
know,
a
because
conservatory.
Yeah, totally, because we have, you know, we have, there's the amazing Navy SEAL trainers, and then there's the dance, and then there's the singing, exactly, and they know wardrobe fitting, and then some makeup tests, and you know, so
and then like the real heavy, like dramatic stuff.
Exactly.
And then it just runs the gamut.
And our own kind of just rehearsals trying to figure stuff out, and so we have been mostly, I guess, working together. We have some scenes that aren't, but a lot of it is.
Can you talk a little bit about this singing?
He has an amazing voice, and you'll be so. I am not a singer. I'm not a trained singer in any way, but it's been an incredible experience to be able to do this. And I'm sort of like pinching myself that I actually get to do a song and dance number,
and that I get to do it with
you, because it's like it's been such a. It's been a long. We will film ours in about a week and a half.
Yeah.
But it's been like 6 weeks or something of. Pretty intensive working on it. Marius, who's our musical director, is amazing. And he's here. I don't know if you guys will get to speak to him, but yeah. He's...
amazing.
He's
worked with Bjork
and
so many...
PJ Harvey and Moulin Rouge, amazing. And he's just...
Is it an original composition? Is it... What song are you guys singing?
Can we say what song I'm singing? Should we not? Maybe not? I have no idea how we can speak.
Yeah,
it's all secretive.
Ask that just in case, because I said something at one point that I found out I wasn't supposed to say, so that I just don't know what the...
I can't wait to tell everybody.
I know. But it's...
we actually heard what it was. So.
Yeah, there okay, yeah. You know already.
Okay, good.
I didn't say it.
Yeah, so it's a reworking... Yeah, nice.
Of the Brian Ferry's, of the yes. Roxy music.
So that's what's cool is that...
it's an awesome song.
Yeah, it's such a great song.
No, and for me, it's interesting. We'll see how it goes, because I've sung in bands and stuff, and I've sung on stage and theater and things, but I've never, like, for the camera, like, I don't know if it should be different, or hopefully someone will tell me if it sucks, or if, you know, so it'll be definitely a challenge and really exciting to see, because also singing and dancing at the same time, but doing it for the camera, not for a live audience, seems really, really interesting. But I've watched some Ben Vereen.
Yeah.
Carlo, this may be a weird question, but are you a good guy, a bad guy, or both? Because it sort of seems like maybe in the real world your character is against lobotomy, and
right.
is maybe good, but in the fantasy world, that dominatrix...
That she's complicit,
thing,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so is it both, or...
You think she's good. She's a good guy. She wants to be a good guy.
I love to play a bad guy, but the story does need... This is no... It's like, I love that you guys are actually asking that... It's such the smart questions that were actually the things that had to be... figured out at the beginning, you know, because I definitely had that question of, because what you don't want her to be is like a wishy-washy guy, do you know what I mean? Like, it does need to be, and yet, obviously, people are complicated, and so I do think that it is true that in the real world, I think she's turned a blind eye to some things. I don't think she has any idea that what's really going on there. I do think that is the case. I think in the, and this is one of the reasons why I needed to kind of separate her to some extent, even though, you know, both of the characters feed each other, is that in the brothel world, she is more, you know, she knows what's going on. She's sort of empowering these girls to turn the guys on. Like, she knows what's happening. So
she's bringing the high roller in.
She's bringing the high roller in. She's doing all these things. I think that she doesn't, I don't think that the level of violence that it gets to has ever gotten to that before.
Well, and she's also not necessarily bringing, it's not your machination of bringing the high roller in.
No, because you're bringing the high roller in, really. I'm preparing the dance for him. Meaning I am a part of that institution, yes. But ultimately, the girls... I am on their side, as strange as that sounds. It kind of has to be for where it needs to go. And I think that's the thing of like, and that's where the Eastern European thing really was very important to me, because it was that thing of, this is a male-dominated world. You're lucky that you have a roof over your head, and I'm going to tell you how to protect yourself in here. But if you don't, you know, if you don't do this right now, your fight for survival starts right now is actually a line I say. And it's sort of like, because you have no idea what will happen if you are not needed here. We don't keep people that are not needed, you know? So it's sort of in that way, I think. But definitely the psychiatrist is more of an innocent, for sure.
I mean, that's what's great also about Carla, that she's just such a, clearly, like, such a clarity of thought and that precision, because it's really challenging material. And I think specifically there's been extra challenges for us and for you in particular, because a lot of it is implied, but not you know, overtly stated in any way, so we've had to really kind of create some of our background, which is what one should do always. But
also because Zach also wants us to, sorry to interrupt, just to say that he also definitely is the most interested in what makes us feel the most like the character. So you're not, you know, it's not necessarily...
And I think, I mean, I think it's great that she's, because my character would think that know, that wants to, you know, cling her, it wants to cling to her and say, you're on my side, you're with me on this, you know, we've been doing this together. And so I think it what it does is really creates a lot of tension.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel that I'm my character's of just a highly sensitive individual.
Yeah.
You know?
No, which is what makes this portrayal of Blues so leveled, so layered, is exactly that, you know.
Yeah.
Is the fact that that nothing is black and white in this world. Everything's gray,
which I think is really cool for a, you know, a kind of, I guess, action comic book like film, that, you know, we really try to blur those lines and not make it, you know, obvious.
This is a question of craft more than anything else. I'm interested in the collaborative aspect of working with Zach, and maybe you come to the table with a really strong idea that day that he doesn't agree with. How does he talk to you as actors to help communicate that?
He, most importantly, listens, which is great. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll listen to the idea fully. I think, almost always will say, let's try it, and we'll try it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll say, okay, now let's do one differently. Or I think if he strongly feels that it's not the right way to go, he just explains why.
Yeah, what's cool is that he, there was one thing that we were playing with in a scene that
that's
what
I was thinking about. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting about that is that he walked down the road with us all the way. Like, let's see what that. So that was that. Oh, then that could be changed. And then, but that would be that. But no, then we'd want that, and there's no way to get that.
There's no way to get, yeah.
So, you know, and so by the end, you know, basically, yet again, you are in it together trying to figure out the best thing. So I think that he also hires actors that he believes in and that he trusts, so that he knows that you're not, nobody here, and it was the same with Watchmen, and it's very notable because it's not always the case. No one is, it's a real ensemble, and everyone loves it that way, so that it doesn't feel like anyone, no one's coming with an idea that's going to make them stand out in something, or it's always about
best idea wins.
Exactly.
Kind of thing, yeah.
And everybody's sort of, oh my God, okay, then we could do that. Yeah, that takes us to that idea. And, you know, and so I do think that it is, yet again, the environment that he creates, which is sort of, I know, kind of amorphous as a thought, like it's not, but it kind of really is it. Like everything stems from that, which is why nobody, you know, which is why nobody besides him could make this movie, and I'm sure Warner Brothers wouldn't let anybody else make this movie, you know? It's like, he's just a true, when Watchmen came out and it said, from visionary director, I said to Zach, you know, that actually is completely appropriate for you, you know? Because most of visionary, genius, these words are thrown out all the time, you know? But I was like, he really is a visionary, like, he really does have his own
unique... He's got a wild imagination, it's amazing.
Yeah.
There's four big action set pieces in this film, you know, the World War, all that stuff. What, you've obviously seen the pre-production artwork. What's the one that you think is going to be the holy
shit? I'm so obsessed with the samurai one, because I've always loved samurai as well. And just like the fact that the gun is the same kind of style and all, I think it's so cool. And that they're huge. When I first read it, as soon as I started reading that, I'm like, this is the most amazing movie I've ever read in my life.
Yeah.
the samurai thing.
Also, she's alone in that, too.
Yeah, and she's by herself.
So,
yeah.
You know, and Emily's so small, and like, you know, there's something so... I have to say, that one really did hit me.
But who knows? I mean, I've seen that stuff, but who knows? Once it's put together, I mean, there's so many... all of them are spectacular and completely different. You know, maybe when it's done, the World War... one might be incredible. Or
I mean, I have to say, I kind of can be the person who kind of zones out during big action sequences in movies. Like I realize there's only so much I can handle, and then I'm like, you know, not working on it, but and I saw a little bit of footage from the World War One that absolutely I was completely riveted and blew my mind. But in addition, what's really cool is that it's the same level, and you know, they've been doing, the girls have been training so much, and it's the same level of, like, it's like you're watching like a kick-ass, unbelievable action sequence from 300, but it's women. But it's not like women doing dainty, womanly things. It's women kicking ass.
Clearly,
but
from the pictures,
exactly.
You can see it's not
that
dainty.
But also with the emotionality of women. So it's incredibly powerful. Like, it has a kind of... strength, and you know, that I can't really remember ever seeing before. So,
this brings up a challenging question. Actually, we were kind of talking about this at lunch today, where the design of these characters and your character with the office dominatrix kind of thing. We've heard empowerment mentioned in terms of these characters, but they look a little bit more like male ideas.
Fantasies, of, right.
Fantasies. Have you talked about that at all? Have you thought about that at all?
I think there's no doubt that we're paying homage to all sorts of genres, and including the, you know, girls looking, you know, it's sweaty and in like, you know, tight outfits. I mean, I think you can't deny that, that, you know, that that and there's a playful nature to that.
What fishnets?
But, exactly. What corsets? No, I mean, and also because his costumes are so amazing that every day, like, you know, we're always like, you know, it's like, I can't stop staring at you. You look amazing, you know. So I think that there is that that element of it. But I think that's the I think it's a more progressive, you know, if you go into, like, you know, different sort of feminist perspectives or whatever, there is no doubt that the movie ultimately is actually really empowering for women. Like, the, you know, just even the nature, the fact that, you know, Warner Brothers is making a movie that Zack Snyder is directing with women as the leads, period. And then women as leads in an action movie is, like, you know, And yet, I think that it isn't about necessarily subjugating the sexuality either. I think it's about going, oh, all of it can exist together. And, you know, I'm sure people will have very strong opinions one way or the other.
One,
you know,
sort of the modern action movie thing is sort of like, where do you have the tough woman who's just really a man with boobs, mm-hmm. which is a lot of times in action movies, tough chicks. And then also, but where do you find that female sexuality and that specific femaleness? And how do you sort of make mm-hmm. them all live together
yeah.
and out of those characters?
And, you know, I was just recently doing someone asked me in an interview about a character that I play in this movie, Women in Trouble. She's a porn star, and they said, you know, how do you feel like you're, you know, in terms of, you know, representing women and do this, because that's also a movie with a lot of women in it. And even as he was asking it, he was like, you know, what's funny is that you don't ever ask that of men. Like, mm-hmm. like, are you, you know, how do you feel about representing your sex? You know, it's like, it's so, because
right, like,
men.
I mean, also like, Zach is not someone that shies away from flesh, whether
exactly,
it's male
exactly.
or
totally.
Female flesh.
Yeah.
In fact, it's, I would say 300 is it's far more racy. You know.
Physically, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's true. That's funny, actually. It's really true. And so I think that's the thing, is that also there's a lot of focus on that from a particular perspective, which I find sometimes slightly, you know, like, I don't know. I think that it's because it's so rare that you have all these women in a movie, and then, you know, it brings up those questions, which are interesting. But
is there a bigger... Obviously, in the imaginary sort of battle sequences, there's an immediate threat there. But I mean, you've talked a little bit about your character sort of playing the, you know, the madam who is telling these women how to survive in a hostile
right.
situation. What is the bigger threat? I mean, what, you know, is there something that threatens sort of your characters or someone you report to or answer to that? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how do you sort of? How do you sort of parcel that out?
Well, one of the things that was interesting to me that I realized is that I send her in to these action sequences. You know, I pick a piece of music that takes her there, or I tell her she doesn't think she has, you know, I say, like, you have all the weapons you need. Like, it's very sort of...
We'll wrap that up
okay.
if we can.
Cool. Perfect. So you know, that definitely, there's that kind of level of taking her in, and being the one who does that, which then, and I also choreograph all the dances and all that, so there was a...
I think the big thing, and I'm thinking about something that you say to her, is the, and I think that what those action sequences kind of represent is just the power of imagination, you know, which ultimately is what frees her and what allows her to escape, which, and I think is, you know, great, because it's coming from Zach, and Zach's got such an amazing imagination, which is, you know, sometimes when fighting something real, like someone that is, you know, like someone, I think, like Blue or this orderly that's, you know, doing something horrible and heinous, for her to imagine that it's not, but it's an army of monsters, in some way makes it easier to conquer that
yeah.
thing. You know,
yeah.
it's the imagination that sets her free. And I think that's why each one kind of goes so wild and so big, because that's ultimately how she can defeat anything, which is through her imagination.
And you were asking about the threat. Do you know what happens to her in the hospital? Do you know the outcome of the story? Or?
Yeah,
No. So that there's obviously the natural threat of being brought into a mental institution, what they might do to you, and then there's the threat in the alternate world, which is what you were asking, like, what is it besides those actions? It, you know, ultimately, is their lives are at stake. Like, this is not a, this is truly a, we don't need you, bye-bye. So there is a lot of threat in that world as well. Thanks, you guys.
Sorry, you guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Just trying to get everyone going before we get Jenna back on the